Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Hey everybody, this is Dom Vitale from the Arizona Pro Wrestling Training Center, and you're listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. You are in the right place, believe you me.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact, and I got some of the bad boys here with me. I guess I need to do roll call. Sometimes I don't have to do roll call, but when I don't see certain people here, they got to find out who's missing. So with that, Sin City Steve, how are you?
Present.
Yes, you are here. Thank you for showing up.
Also pre-vert.
No, I mean, you know, something like that.
King Lucky, we hear your voice. How are you?
Well, the quarantine cowboy is here.
Why you do that look, man? It was so pornish. Matt Michaels.
Apparently he's a mime.
You can't, right? You can't play like that because your audio drops out a lot. So I don't know if it's true or not.
I'm here.
All right, good. All right, everyone. Welcome to the show. We're starting off with our three count, and we got three good stories for you today. We'll start with our first one. That's from culturedvultures.com. That's a different one, right?
You know, Culture Vulture.
Yeah, it's a way different one. But they have one that's titled, "Could the answers to NWA's problem be AEW? The return of the traveling champions." Now, we didn't talk a lot about this last week, but you know, there was a lot of rumors happening that NWA was done. I mean, it was just kind of popping up, and it's, you know, to a point where I guess Corrigan had mentioned that it isn't, but even this week, it's, you know, I mean, you still kind of see that stories coming out saying that NWA is in many ways a wrap. And then, of course, we know their Vice President David Laguna resigned due to the sexual assault. Laguna. Okay. Thank you, sir. He's going to do a lot of corrections because this is King Lucky's job. You know, when he wakes up one time, he says, "Hey, I'm going to be the corrector. So you correct me because I'm going to make a lot of mistakes." Okay, there you go. due to sexual assault allegations, right? So that happened. And so it's just looking like it's really tough, being that we're still going through the COVID, and they're not one of the promotions to get going like some of the others. Nevertheless, this is an article. It's a very long article, but the idea is that it was saying, if you look at NWA's history, it's always been known of having their champion go into other territories and they would defend their title. And overall, the article is saying that if you look at how at one point, NWA had ran some promotions earlier where they had did some events where they were doing exactly that with ROH. They also had did another event with IPW UK, a one called MCW Pro Wrestling, and they also did one with Cody, of course, in All In at 2018. Where you had Nick Aldis, which is their champion, that was defending this title. Now they're saying, hey, if AEW having an issue where some of their talent is unable to perform during this COVID, and then you have NWA sort of issues right now with not having a facility in the doesn't have all the tools they need to be able to run their shows, why not sort of bring these two together, for the time being, and one mostly could be helping out the other. I mean, you would think, well, why would AEW want to help out NWA? Well, it is bringing on a fan base of NWA, right? I mean, they have a certain fan base that will come over to watch Nick Aldis and other wrestlers that they watch. And I know at one time, King Lucky, you was really big in the NWA. You used to talk about...
Yeah, I still am.
Yeah. So when you bring in their fans over there to now help grow their business, and at the same time, it keeps NWA from not just completely being shut out, right? I mean, they're not trying to compete in any way. They run their shows on YouTube, you know, but it's still an awesome product for where it is. So, guys, what do you think about this? I mean, I hope NWA is not, the rumors are true that it's done, but is this a way out? Maybe teaming up with AEW and having these different title shots to kind of come through? I mean, it was a big article, and they mentioned a lot on there. I'll start with you, Sin City Steve. What did you think about this particular article when you read it?
So, I mean, the thing is, history has a way of repeating itself. Mm-hmm. Initially, when the NWA came back, they had a working arrangement with Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. And that definitely benefited both sides, I thought.
Yeah.
Because it allowed the showcasing of both rosters, mm-hmm. On both TV shows. And, you know, it's one of those things, ultimately, where I don't see there being any issues if they choose to go this route. I mean, hell, for the longest, New Japan had a working arrangement with Ring of Honor as well.
Yeah.
So I would thoroughly welcome it, as a matter of fact. I know that Billy Corgan had issued a statement saying specifically, mm-hmm. that NWA was not going out of business.
Right.
That, you know, NWA Power was not, you know, stopping what they were doing, things of that nature. But then, obviously, lately we've heard some rumblings that, you know, mm-hmm. that's not true. So I definitely do think that if they were to have some sort of an arrangement with AEW, that it would benefit both brands. And, you know, we'll talk about this during Wrestling Talk, mm-hmm. but, you know, AEW is just now starting to fully utilize their second show of the week, Dark. So, it's one of those things that, I know that Cody, was very outspoken about wanting to get another, block of time on TNT during the week, mm-hmm. and that was before COVID reared its ugly head and all that kind of stuff, that was in the discussions. So I, quite honestly, you know, if even if they brought them in and, you know, mixed up the rosters a bit, did the invasion stuff, yeah. I think that this could help to kick off that new show.
Yeah.
And it would definitely bolster both rosters. It would bolster the AEW roster, but it would give the NWA roster more visibility.
Right.
Something that, quite frankly, they are lacking.
Yeah. And King Lucky, I mean, again, we've watched NWA for some time now, and seeing that this could possibly be a way out, I'm sure there's no discussions being talked between the two, but what do you think about having this as an option of them sort of coming together to, you know, keep everything alive?
Well, I mean, quite honestly, I'm sad for everybody involved because I don't know, and I hope they survive the pandemic, but, you know, it's going to be increasingly tough for them if they don't look at something like this. You know, NWA is a good quality product. Mm-hmm. It was offering something different with great storylines, you know, in a short amount of time and, you know, on YouTube. So it was easily accessible on any device. And so it's tough because while they could feature some talent on AEW, mm-hmm. you know, the situations before with NWA and ROH, those companies kind of needed to rub together and you know, do something together, whereas AEW doesn't necessarily need NWA. You know, so, but I think it would certainly help, you know, for whatever stint of time they do it for. But unfortunately, you see talent like Zicky Dice, Ricky Starks, and now maybe even Eddie, who wrestled Cody last week, you know, leaving NWA. And so you may start to see even more of that if they can't get a deal done where they come back to TV, or B, you know, figure something out with, you know, maybe cross promoting with somebody that's on TV.
Yeah. So Matt Michaels, I mean, part of the article, it says, but even more of an interest was the inclusion of the AAA Mega Championship on an episode of both AEW Dynamite and AEW Dark, title holder Kenny Omega defending the championship against Jack Evans and Sammy Guevara. If other championships have already appeared on AEW shows and the NWA championship originally appeared at All In, what is to prevent the two companies coming to agreement to do so again? Do you see something like this possibly being a beneficial to both, and definitely for NWA, which we wouldn't want to see go away, and we hope that the rumors aren't true?
No fucking way.
Okay.
Period. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
What the fuck does AEW have to gain from NWA getting the rub off of them? Nothing. You let the company go out of business, then you sign their wrestlers. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, yeah. He's not lying. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, that's smart business. And then B, if you give us another article that makes us go fucking for 75 paragraphs just telling us the history of NWA and everything up to this point, and then the briefest statement on, I think they should merge together like ECW and WWF did.
Not buying
it. I'm gonna just.
I don't think.
Oh man, can you just do that so that we can see that? I think I speak on behalf of everybody watching right now. We'd all like to see that. Just saying.
You know, his whole point hinged on the WWF and ECW working relationship. And the fact of the matter was, is that Vince was in an actual ratings war with WCW. So he had everything to gain by trying to strike up a working relationship, since WCW was the one who was benefiting from signing ECW guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that was necessary and that could help both companies. Especially because ECW was launching their first pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, NWA is, I mean, literally, the problem is that they can't film, all right?
Yeah.
They haven't taken that risk.
Yep.
People should be praising Corrigan right now for them not taking that risk.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, Lagana, he fucked them, you know? This whole, you know, this whole movement, it comes out to show that even if you think you're safe and you feel empowered and you allegedly try to do something like that, the fact of the matter is that you shouldn't feel safe and mm-hmm. you shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he put the company in a bad position, essentially. So what are you going to do? Now, Corrigan, being who he is, has influence.
Yeah.
And if he could get just a fraction, 5% or 10% of AEW, then you sell the company to them and you join their leadership. becomes front office.
Let me ask you guys this, and I get what you're saying, but is it ever good, though, to see a wrestling organization just go down? You know what I mean? If NWA now was to go away and now become AEW, now you risk whatever talent they did have not being featured at all. And then now what AEW have with what we were hoping to see, now we maybe not see much of them. It's the same thing you had when you had the with WWE and WCW, right? I mean, overall, you hate to see any wrestlers that's out of work over, you know, period. It just, I get the idea of takeovers and being purchased, but it doesn't seem like it's a good thing for wrestling in general. But I get the business aspect to it.
You think anybody's thinking about wrestling in general?
Well, I would say fans are, but maybe not. I'm sure business folks aren't.
Well, yeah, no shit, fans are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But there's, come on, think about it. Vince McMahon is not sitting there going, I wonder what is best for wrestling. He's thinking, I wonder what's best for my pockets, because my pants is burning a holes in a pocket.
But, you know, one of the things I always thought, and maybe you would think different, when the whole takeover, when they purchased WCW, I didn't understand why they just didn't run it as a separate company. You know, why just completely kill it and then merge over and I mean, it did have a following, and WWE only would have made the following even bigger. Why just totally?
Well, first to answer your question, it goes back to the reason WCW couldn't sell to Eric Bischoff, and that is they didn't have a time slot.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, brother. You didn't have TV.
Gotcha.
And those people who watched WCW were people who were, you know, for better or for worse, fans who were very used to TBS and TNT.
Yeah.
All right. So if you would even put WCW on USA, you're not getting the same viewership. Yeah. So that's why.
Gotcha.
The reason Vince bought it was for the library.
Right.
And obviously, we see from $9.99, you too can see why Vince bought the fucking company.
Right.
Facts. I think it's definitely interesting to note that the initial plan was for Nitro to move to USA, and Raw obviously would slide into where SmackDown was at the time, mm-hmm. as far as time slot.
Okay.
So they were initially, like, when everything first happened.
Yeah.
They were that was actually in the cards. They were looking at running WCW as a second promotion.
I mean, I thought it would have been smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely. And quite frankly, it would have led, you know, it would have kept the competition alive.
Yeah.
To some extent. As we all know, WWE purchasing WCW and ECW has led to it initially led to a downturn in the business, mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of fans becoming disgruntled with the product and the issues that a lot of people are having now. Even.
Right? Yeah.
So the effects are being felt even today.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, also, too, when that happened, a lot of the big name contracts, Goldberg, Sting, weren't signed to WCW. They were signed to Turner.
Bingo.
Okay. That's another reason why they might not have been as successful, because those guys weren't there. You still had some of your mainstays like Booker, and you know, they had some other good talent. Yeah. You know. But I think if they would have had a platform like today, maybe like YouTube, where they could have had a small show like that, then, you know, possibly something like that might have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
interesting. All right. Well, I guess we will just have to see what comes out of that. But you know, I guess the writer was trying to figure out a way to keep, you know, NWA afloat. Because King Lucky would be very disappointed. Uh-oh, what is that you're showing? Oh. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, I totally would be disappointed if they went away. But you know what? If ultimately some of that talent goes to other places,
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't complain either. If you had a Nick Aldis go to, you know, there'd be a huge bidding war at that point for his services.
Oh, I'm sure.
He just goes, goes to Impact Wrestling, and the TNA title goes against the NWA title.
Oh, Jesus.
But you got him. You got so many other great talents that they have. So it'll be interesting to see how the next few months plays out with this.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go to our second topic for tonight. And this one comes from TheOvertimer.com. And it is titled, Impact Wrestling on the Rise and Becoming a Must-Watch Show. But are they taking on too many ex-WWE wrestlers? He states within his article that now that six new WWE wrestlers, it's hard to predict if they're going to work well in Impact Wrestling. Impact have usually been in place for ex-WWE wrestlers to go, no matter the level of the wrestler. That being said, all these wrestlers have had hints of greatness through their career. If they're given the freedom, they could really prove themselves to be great. You know, he doesn't really make a good argument or case on the question he has, which is, Are there taking on too many ex-WWE wrestlers? But I thought we could talk about this for a minute because this is always a question that is brought up with any other wrestling organization, right, that isn't WWE. If it's AEW, hey, are they taking on too many WWE wrestlers? You know, if it becomes, you know, you don't see them happen to go to MLW or NWA, but you can see the same excuse being given if that was the case. But I don't know. I don't see that being an issue for Impact Wrestling because, for starters, most of the time when guys come from WWE, it's not even as if they had a push in WWE. They're good wrestlers, but we don't get the opportunity to see their greatness in WWE that they can see their greatness in other companies. So I'll start with you, King Lucky, with this. Do you see this as being an issue with Impact Wrestling, with them taking on too many ex-WWE wrestlers? We know we got six of them now. What's your take?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you know, WWE is the biggest game, you know, across the land. So, I mean, where else are they going to go? I mean, you know, it doesn't matter that they came from WWE. To me, it more so matters about what they do when they get to Impact Wrestling and how they're booked. Impact Wrestling is experiencing somewhat of a revival, if you will. And I believe the recent signings will allow for that to continue. Because all of a sudden, they're part of the wrestling lineup that people want to see every week now. They're gaining some traction. And when they started doing these teaser videos for who was going to be at Slammiversary, it generated a lot of buzz. And I'll tell you what, Impact Wrestling and Slammiversary was trending on Twitter all that weekend. And in fact, they had very strong holds, you know, during Saturday when the event was going on. So I don't think that it's an issue unless they just absolutely screw the pooch and don't do, you know, the right thing. I mean, some people have already commented that what they've seen with Heath Slater is kind of wonky, but you know what? I'll give it a chance and let it see it play out first.
Well, he haven't done anything.
Well, you know, he's got to sneak in back doors and, you know, he's not really allowed in the building.
He's a free agent.
Yeah.
He's not a roster member.
And yeah, exactly.
And
so
he can't go by Slater, so don't even call him Slater.
Yeah, Heath.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't see it as being a problem at all. I mean, you know, these guys are talented. The people that they've signed are talented. And, you know, it's just up to Impact. At this point now, they can turn a corner, and it's almost like a new beginning for the company overall.
You know, Sin City Steve, it's amazing. Like, when some of these wrestlers are in WWE, so when you have the Eric Young or EC3, Good Brothers, when they come out, it's interesting how in WWE, it seems like, oh, well, they don't get a huge response or from the audience a lot of times, or they're just, it's just whatever. Then they go over to Impact or another company, and now they are a huge name. Now it's like, oh my God, look, they got the Good Brothers over there. And it's, you know, and it's like, why you didn't see that potential in them when you did see them get their play in WWE? I mean, I don't know. Is it, and this is probably mostly have to do with just fans just being, you know, who they are. But do you see a problem with Impact with having, you know, any of these particular these wrestlers, ex-WWE wrestlers that are over there? Do you see that being an issue at all?
I mean, I don't see it being an issue. I think that we can even go as far back as when Christian jumped from WWE to TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And they made such a huge deal about it. They gave him their world championship the very first night, mm-hmm. the whole deal. So again, like what we talked about with the first count, history has a way of repeating itself. Now, obviously, it's good to see that they are at least tempering things a little bit this time.
Yeah.
You know, they gave the WWE guys that defected, they gave them prominent spots on the show, mm-hmm. but they didn't peg them as the future of the company, like what they did initially with Christian when he went to Impact, or TNA at the time. So I think that that's very important to do and very important to keep in mind. Now, anybody that leaves WWE and goes somewhere else, chances are they're going to be some sort of a draw. So it's smart of them to capitalize on what they can. So I don't see any kind of a major problem with it at all. You have to reward your existing roster members first, though.
But why do you have to be? But that's what I'm saying. So why does it have to be a draw? Because what you're saying is right. But why is it a draw when a WWE wrestler goes to another company?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that a draw? But while they're in the company, it's like, oh, whatever. It's bathroom break now that the Good Brothers are on.
Sure. You know? And so you can thank Vince himself for actually both of those things. Because realistically, by the way that things get booked and written, and as we all know, WWE TV is written for an audience of one, and that just happens to be an 84-year-old man. So, nothing makes it onto WWE TV that he doesn't give the approval for.
Sure.
So that's something to keep in mind. I think that we're seeing a lot of people look at the people that were featured prominently on Impact.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Good Brothers, you had Heath, you had EC3, you had Eric Young.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys show up after being, let's call it what it is, let's call a beaver, even though, you know, dipshit's not here. All those guys were misused or not used to their fullest potential,
sure.
according to a certain percentage of the fans' minds.
Right.
So those people that felt that way, let's be real, those tend to be a more vocal minority, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So the vocal minority, they see these people come in to a new situation where they don't think that they're going to be, you know, beaten up, treated like job guys, misused or mishandled. So obviously it plays into that kind of lapsed fan that is watching Impact in the first place,
mm-hmm.
As an alternative to WWE. So I think that everything's completely spot on with what they did. And to keep it, you know, 100 with you with this too, the reason why they're looked at as draws when they go to other companies is because WWE bought out ECW and WCW, to kind of reference back to, you know, the first count there that we were talking about. So because that happened, they were the only game in town on a global scale for the longest time. So as a result, they were the de facto number one.
Yeah.
So anybody that leaves there to go anywhere else, they're going to be a draw. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Matt Michaels, I mean, six wrestlers go over. He questioned, is that too many? I mean, is that really an issue? Hell, if 12 wrestlers went over, would that be an issue for Impact? I mean, what's the point?
First, let me say that Steve just did a really excellent job of describing AEW fans. Nice job.
I know it did.
The answer to the question is very simple. Vince's mid-carders are your top carders, which says something about what you think a top carder is.
Hmm.
The only reason they're at the top of the card is primarily because more eyes saw them because of WWE TV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You know, you can't tell me Heath Slater is equivalent to Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
The only time that it really happens when it's like Kurt Angle. All right.
Yeah.
That's a big draw. You just let a guy go because he was on a bunch of, you know, gobble, you know, and a lot of painkillers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to do something better for him by saying, okay, why don't you take a break? And he goes and he wants to wrestle more.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately push him. He went and got a push over Samoa Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the start of the end of their company from being prominent at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes to show, build your own fucking people, and guess what? Stay behind those people. Because if you just start bringing in people, then what happens is you're now putting a position on them that they have to deliver. Mm-hmm. You've already got, you know, so the point about EC3 looking like Kurgan, very interesting. It's a very interesting point because that comparison in itself diminishes who EC3 is.
Yeah.
You know, because now you've just put it in the mind, you know, of fans of equivalating that name in Kurgan. And now what are you expecting?
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, it's just, to me, it's again grasping for straws and saying, you know, if it's too much or not enough, that really doesn't fucking matter. It matters what they do as a squad of writers and bookers.
Right. Yeah.
The product's interesting. You could put, you know, fucking theater people from fucking Ohio, you know, just out of high school in a fucking wrestling company.
I feel somewhat attacked.
I know, right?
Fuck you.
Come on. Why Ohio of all states, huh? Because Steve, huh? Come on.
No, well, he's in that quarter of my eye vision, and honestly, when I was kind of right up with the state, I just kind of saw him like Ohio.
Well, there's that.
But if they're good writers and good storyline,
mm-hmm.
you would fucking follow that bunch of people. Why do we watch reality TV? It's mm-hmm. fucking garbage, but they know how to hook you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Absolutely. We also want to remind folks that if you are watching us live on our Zoom, you can comment on our live video comments. And we have a few people. Welcome to the show. We see that Jesse's on and he says, hey, you know, you're talking about other people going other places. What about Rusev? You know.
He ain't going anywhere for a while. He got the Rona.
Yeah.
Exactly. I still think that they figure out a way to work him back into WWE, especially now since he is delayed with coming back because he has coronavirus. I mean, it hasn't been confirmed, but it was confirmed. But, I think he's a top-notch talent. that's one guy like Michaels was talking about that, you know, they could really do some things with. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, it's time for some fun. We're going to go to our third topic. And there's no other fun than when you go to the website, sports, 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 Skeeta.
On your face.
Can you do that one more time for the people at home?
Sports, 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 Skeeta.
We got. I'm going to need you to make that into a drop.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, bye.
You know?
You get the credible sources like Forbes and SportsKeeda. Those should be part of the regular drops.
Right. Forbes. Sports, sports, SportsKeeda. Okay, so it's titled 5 Wrestling Rumors We Hope Are True and 5 We Hope That Aren't. You know why I love these so much? Because it just bothers Matt Michaels. That's what I love about it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read them off, and I'm just, we're not going to go each by each. If you feel you got something to say about it, and we'll go to the next, right? So let's start with number 5 that we hope is true. Let's see, do we hope this is true? We should let Matt Michael start off on this one just to, you know, get him egged off pretty quick. Edge WWE WrestleMania 37 plans, okay? It says that Dave Meltzer revealed in the latest edition of Wrestling Observer Newsletter that Edge versus Randy Orton in an I Quit match is being penciled in as one of the pivotal bouts for next year's WrestleMania. Now, they say that they hope that is true because it would be a fitting way to end the feud. All right, Matt Michaels, take it. Do you hope this is true, that this is the WrestleMania 37 plans with Edge and Orton?
So not only do I don't like SportsKeeda, but yep. Give me something that puts Meltzer front and center.
I was waiting for it.
Dude, I mean, fucking WrestleMania 37, really? 37 is going to be LA.
Uh-oh. You're gonna have to start over, Matt, because we didn't hear nothing. You're going in and out, and we want to hear how you're gonna destroy either what was said or me or both. So let's start over.
You're giving your best EDM impersonation.
Yeah.
Bro. Yeah. Okay. He might be completely stuck.
He's frozen now.
Yeah.
Well, I will take. I'll pick up where.
Okay.
So I will say that if they do this, I do hope it's true because you got to see their first match with no audience, you know, in the house. And I think that they deserve the payoff of having a live audience and being able to tell that story in front of, you know, and who's to say? Mm-hmm. Who's to say that 37 will actually happen the way it's supposed to?
Right.
But I will say that, you know, if all things align properly, that I do hope that they're able to do it at that pay-per-view.
Okay. You want to try it again, Matt Michaels?
There we go. No, you know what? Why are we even talking about WrestleMania 37?
Because we hope that is true.
I hope there's a WrestleMania 37.
We hope that's true also.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We're talking about something that is, you know, 7 months away or whatever the fuck it is. What the fuck? Like, why, Dave Meltzer? Why? Just why?
How about this one? How about this one, Matt Michaels? And then Sin City, I'm going to come to you. Okay, how about this, Matt Michaels? How about you hope what isn't true? Because, you know, Mania is several months away, but SummerSlam is right around the corner, right? How about another change in plans for Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam? The 720 show originally was to focus on an angle set up with McIntyre versus Orton for SummerSlam WWE title match, but the decision was changed to instead push for McIntyre versus Ziggler in a rematch on 727. We hope this isn't true because Randy Orton would have made the perfect WWE title challenger at SummerSlam. All right, what you say to that one, Matt Michaels?
Listen, what have I said about Drew? He fucking looks weak. You don't remember them. And the best thing you do right now is put a something like Ziggler with them.
What?
Why the fuck do you put him in a feud with Orton? Build him up first. Make him look like he's a fucking monster.
Wait. Sin City, you shaking your head. Wait, are you...
No, I think that you could have him squash Ziggler and have him just to go on a tear. Michaels brings up a great point, as much as it fucking pains me to say it.
Wait, I'm just curious. Why do you guys think that McIntyre can't hold his own?
I never said he couldn't hold his own. Well, I'm just saying that the way that they're portraying him in ring is less than dominant. And quite frankly, you need, especially right now, you need a dominant champion.
Okay.
Well, at Extreme Rules, he should have did that, and then you could have closed that off.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're extending a little bit, and it'll be interesting to see how they book things.
It'll be a damn 8-month program with he and Ziggler.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
Which no one wants to see.
Yeah.
Trust.
So we hope that this isn't true. Okay. All right. You guys are agreeing with him. How about this one? This is good for you, King Lucky. Number 4, something that we hope is true is that MVP push for Mustafa Ali's return. And anyway, breaks the whole thing down that, you know, when it comes to his return, this comes as a result of availability, but I personally couldn't be happier for him. If there were more people there, I worry that he would not have got that chance, and he is someone who deserves to at least be on TV. He has had the WWE Championship matches quite recently. He has so much momentum on SmackDown. On Raw, he took his chance and got something good out of it. Everyone else in the match wanted him to pick up that win. MVP has a strong voice backstage, and I think he is using it right to put people over. And that was said by, is that Tom Callihu? Is that how you say that? Speech person?
That's how you say it.
Okay, thank you. And so he's saying, hey, we hope this is true because we always like hearing about selfless veterans who have an eye for the future. So what do you think about that one, King Lucky?
Well, I mean, you know, we did see Mustafa Ali return this week, which was good. I think that if the rumors were true and he had that hacker angle, that was going to be something that was going to be potentially very big. So it'll be interesting to see how they pivot off of that angle now, moving him from SmackDown to Raw. And hopefully, because we know Raw has Vince's fingerprints all over it, that he doesn't get lost in the shuffle. You look at guys like Ricochet, who to me is just criminally underutilized there. And finally, they started to do things with them. But I just hope that, you know, he finds his way and they find something for him. A lot of this comes, too, with you pitching things that hopefully stick. But MVP, if it is true, going to bat for him, I mean, you know, what else could you ask for? Like you said, a veteran that is in your corner and, you know, maybe down the line they figure out something where he goes against those guys, or you know, there's a million different things open, and thankfully, because of other people that aren't there right now, he did get that shine. So
yeah, all right. How about this one? Let's go, Matt Michael. Let's hope that this isn't true, huh? That WWE was forced to cancel the hacker storyline. According to Tom, he said Ali was the hacker. However, it became too convenient of a storyline, and WWE essentially took it out of his hands. It was also said that, hey, now with Ali's move to Raw, it's extremely unlikely that we're ever going to see him as a hacker. However, as long as the hacker storyline is something that WWE writing team can use to write themselves out of the corner, there will always be a SmackDown hacker. All right. He says, though, he hoped that it isn't true because we hate seeing storylines with no payoff or... Sin City Steve's worth continuity. Woo! All right, Matt Michaels, what's your take on that? Do we hate that this isn't true?
I hate that this person actually put this in an article. This is fucking dumb as shit. Like, I don't know. Were any of you really invested in the fucking hacker angle?
Yes. Who want to lie and say they wasn't invested? King Lucky?
I was invested.
Okay.
I was invested to see Mustafa Ali come back and be featured prominently. Yeah, however, that would have happened.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Mustafa. I'm talking about the hacker angle.
Yeah,
a hacker angle.
Like the angle too.
A hacker angle, in my opinion, is a dated angle at this point. I could see if it was something, you know, further back toward the year 2000 or something to that effect. Now, I mean, what? So people are gonna say that the hacker does what? Hacks into someone's phone and steals their fucking nudes. That's about the extent of it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, who cares? It's like, okay, Mustafa's on fucking Raw now. Yeah. Stop crying. Get the fuck over it. And just move on. If you wanted to see Mustafa, you get a chance now.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. You get to see Ali. If you want to see fucking hackers, rent the movie. 1996, I think. Dan Aykroyd. That's sneakers.
Oh, boy. Okay, all right. How about you? I'll let you start this one off, Cincy. I'll let you start this one. Number three, do we hope that this is true? The Nation of Domination 2.0 was nixed. All right. It says, according to Dave Meltzer, all right, that there was an idea. I don't know if it was dropped. Originally, it was going to be on a show for a revamping of the Nation of Domination, and Ron Simmons was going to be a part of that angle. But they dropped that angle for this show. They may be building it later. They may have dropped it completely, but they have brought him in for that angle. So therefore, that is why he was on television. Now, we hope that it is true and that it has been nicked, because the insinuation of a Nation of Domination 2.0 could come across as controversial in today's sensitive political climate. Well, I gave it to the right person, too. Go ahead.
You're goddamn right you did. Here's the thing, is I wouldn't have had a problem if this would have been the Nation of Domination 2.0, especially, you know, I don't know where this is coming from that it's not going to be. Quite honestly, the Ron Simmons promo almost felt like a passing of the torch to MVP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this angle is off the table, and quite frankly, it doesn't need to be off the table.
Yeah.
Right now, I would love to see a Nation of Domination 2.0. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously, like no, it because what it's going to do is it's going to best utilize some guys that quite frankly haven't been getting the shine that they're supposed to.
True.
You push Bobby Lashley to the fucking moon. First off, you give him the championship. You let him go on a run.
Uh-oh.
Period.
Matt Michaels giving that look.
Good. Talk to me, Michaels.
You just said Lashley and championship.
Yeah.
Lashley.
Bro, Lashley, all that you need to do is look at his time and Impact when he was pushed as a fucking killer and a legitimate threat. The guy was great. He was great.
I liked him before when he was Goldberg.
Okay.
Dude, I will say, I'm with Sin City Steve, and I've said it for a long time. I think Lashley, he definitely deserves that main event push leading up to him getting a championship. He's not a great talker or even a good talker. So it's good that they've paired him with somebody that can do that piece for him. But physically and in the ring, he is golden. Mm-hmm. So it is time for them to run, you know, even if it's a short run.
Yeah.
Even if it's a short run, give him the title.
All right. I'm with it. I mean, even though Matt Michaels don't like it, I'm with it.
No, what are you going to do? So you guys want to put the title on him and put the title on Big E and keep the title on Drew and put the title on Bray. I mean, there's too many titles to go around here.
So we should just start killing off titles?
I guess. No, so the thing is, I'm not saying that you hot shot the title right onto him. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that you have him enter a program with Drew and you build up to it. So obviously, I mean, it's July. So what, you work to SummerSlam, or, you know, SummerSlam, maybe Lashley loses the match because of some chicanery bullshit from MVP, but then he gets his rematch the next month. Perfect. Get him the title then.
Not only that, but
wait, what do you do with Drew then?
What's that?
What do you do with Drew?
Well, there are a couple of different things that you could do. You could have him lose because, you know, somebody interfered yet again, and then you spring him off into, you know, a feud with the second in command, if you will, of the Hurt Business. And there are a lot of things that you can do. I think that ultimately, if you're not going to push Drew like a fucking monster, then he needs to drop the title. Shit or get off the pot.
Oh, well, God. So I think also, too, what you could do at some point, and this is further down the road, but you could have kind of along what Sin City Steve's talking about, you know, have him get this title and eventually through all these different scenarios with MVP ultimately turn babyface, and he'd be hugely over. You know, and this is a short run. You know, Lashley's not a spring chicken. So give him his flowers and let's move on. I think it's a great idea.
And for the record, coming soon to a WWE TV show near you, this exact fucking storyline. Hi, whoever's watching with WWE, thanks for watching again. I couldn't even – so we'll talk about it in Wrestling Talk, but yes. Another one of our fucking references made WWE TV.
Okay, hold on to that. Let's go to our number three.
What's up, Hunter?
Just cut the check, baby. Cut the check.
That we hope that isn't true is that four WWE stars released due to bad publicity for Saudi Arabia. Now, according to Dave Meltzer, he said, the other thing that I didn't know, another thing that was that the guys who had given the company bad publicity over Saudi Arabia, which was Rusev and Carl Anderson and Joe Henning, I think. The other one was Andrade, but Andrade is in the Flair family, so he was safe. So those guys, there was a lot of bitterness because, you know, whatever WWE sees it one way, nobody should have said anything. The reason there was a problem is because guys said there was a problem and everything, and there's all those tweets out there that WWE couldn't deny. He says, we hope this isn't true because it would be unfair reason to release them. Would that be an unfair reason to release them? Let's take this, King Lucky. Do you hope that this isn't true, that they were released because of bad?
Yeah, I definitely hope it isn't true. I mean, you know, I don't know how you expect it out of all those people that work for the company for this stuff not to get out. You know, and everybody's got an opinion. Should they have went on record and spoke out about it? Probably not. But you know what? They were in fear for their lives. they didn't know what was going to happen. But yeah, I hope it's not true that they got released because of it. Because that'd be really poor on WWE's behalf, and they could set themselves up for a lawsuit, but there's really not a way for you to prove it, you know, so.
Hey, Sin City, yeah. I just got a text here from Bruce Pritchard, and he said, no.
What up, Bruce?
He didn't say, he didn't take it from us with that storyline from Lashley, so.
Okay.
We're okay there.
Cool.
We're okay.
Shout out to Bruce for listening.
What up, brother? Love.
He's one of Conrad's guys. So, you
know. friends of the show.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to our next one. Let me.
No.
Oh. What I do?
You just totally like cut, like, holy shit.
Oh. Yes, Steve-O wanted his chance to speak on it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good, brother.
The maestro of mishaps.
Jesus. So here's the thing.
Let me tell you, someone
just refresh my memory and tell me if these guys are still employed by the company? Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn.
Well,
that's debatable. Yes.
Employed by the company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Daniel fucking Bryan.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So those are three people that were the most outspoken about not going to Saudi Arabia for one reason or another, and they're still on the fucking roster.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's not too often that I get to debunk something that Meltzer says, but this is one of those times.
Your Uncle Dave is going to
kill Dave,
you.
I'm coming to get you.
You won't be invited to Thanksgiving.
I won't be, man. I won't be. It'll be a silent Thanksgiving, man.
Get your hands off of that pecan pie.
And simply enough, I'll just tell them, hey, plans changed.
Yes. Or planes changed.
Okay, DJ, go ahead. Give us another Meltzer story that this guy just rehashed.
Yeah.
What is this?
Well, how about this? That number two. Sucks. Number two, all right. Number two, that we hope is true. Edge and Daniel Bryan have significant creative influence, according to Dave Meltzer. Edge on Raw and Daniel Bryan on SmackDown both have significant creative influence. The term I was given is they were part of the winning teams of the respective shows right now. And we hope this is true because Edge and Daniel Bryan have two brilliant wrestling minds. Which, by the way, he says explains why Daniel Bryan aligned with Drew Gulak on SmackDown. Boom. Okay, this is for you, Matt Michaels. We hope this is true, right? That Edge and Daniel Bryan have significant creative influence.
Yeah, I hope when Edge is at home nursing this injury that he's creatively nursing it, maybe putting the arm up here with the little eyes, maybe over here with the little eyes. What the fuck? Creative. Those guys are veterans. I mean, I'd be fucking going, like, if you said it was Ali and fucking Ricochet, then I might go, wow, that's pretty, you know, interesting.
Yeah.
But it's fucking Edge and Daniel Bryan. Next, you're going to tell me that the whole time Vince was like, you know, Undertaker, do what you want to do. Because he did. It's the fucking Undertaker.
All right. Anybody else want to take that on?
No, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Right. Those guys are veterans. And, you know, they, when you think about what happened with Daniel Bryan and him dropping the title to Kofi Kingston, it was widely reported that he was in favor of the move. So, yeah, there are certain guys that you're going to trust in your locker room. That'll make the right decisions 100% of the time. You don't have to give them a script with the promo. This is like no shit, Sherlock. But it's true.
Watson.
All right. Well, how about this?
Watson.
Let's do this one. Sin City, Steve, number two. We hope that isn't true. Aleister Black's push is in jeopardy. Okay, Tom Callahu says, to my knowledge, it is Vince McMahon who has mixed opinions, shall we say. Vince added that creak to the entrance when he leverages up, and now he has removed the entrance altogether. I didn't even catch that. We haven't seen Aleister Black entrance in a long time, to put it bluntly. Vince thinks that there's something missing about Aleister Black. It's similar to how he feels about Cesaro. What? Anyway, okay. Keep keep an eye on this one because we all know how that went. And he just says, we hope this isn't true because Paul Heyman was right about Aleister Black. All right, Sin City, dude. Is this something we hope isn't true? Aleister Black.
Of course we hope it's not true, but it wouldn't surprise me if it is true. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Aleister Black speaks amazing English. Despite, I don't believe that he is, I don't believe that English was his first language. Mm-hmm. But he has the same problem that Cesaro does, in that they speak with an accent. And we all know how Vince doesn't like accents. So, yeah. I mean, it's bullshit, but you've got somebody who is an amazing talent that they're just evidently going to go back to wasting. Aleister Black was one of those people that got an amazing amount of shine when Paul Heyman was writing for Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who was paying attention noticed that. He was featured more prominently. He was more dominant, and they were building him. And then obviously Heyman exits stage left and Vince doesn't like him. So I don't know if it's the tattoos or the, you know, the accent. I'm sure that it's a combination of the two. And as a result, we're left with what we're left with.
Yeah. It ain't the tattoos. No. I mean, if it was tattoos, The Rock, Orton, you know, think of all those people who have.
Well, but they're Undertaker, not covered in tattoos.
Undertaker, though. he's covered pretty much head to toe now. So, no, I think, you know, the thing is that this is being said, but at the same time, isn't Black what he's got the feud going with Rollins, right? Isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you can call it a feud, but
yeah,
I can tell you
he's getting his ass kicked by Rollins. Track.
But
that
off, yeah, coming off of the pay per view, he should have won.
No, I what I'm thinking, to be honest, is put him with Seth.
Hmm.
Have Aleister back join that group. And now you're looking at a situation where you got a group that's kind of potentially like a legacy type group, you know? Just kind of, you know, groomed under Seth, and these guys, you know, are kind of, you know, his hired mercenaries.
I'd be 100% okay with that.
I'm hoping we're going to see something like that, but he hasn't.
So please, please take this storyline item,
Bruce.
Okay. Bruce, please. Thank you.
Or
don't actually, listen to this, Bruce. Don't listen to this, Bruce.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, you know, that's a great angle too. But put him together with his real life wife, and turn him heel, and let her manage. You know, him. She's done a great job with the guys that she's managed so far. So, you know,
he's not the right ethnicity, according to another Vince trope.
But he does speak with an accent, so apples, oranges.
Yeah.
And obviously we all know that I'm saying that that's a Vince trope. That's not my belief because yeah, that's
right.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But no, like it's terrible that that's the state of everything with WWE is, oh, well, you're Mexican, then we're going to put you with other Mexicans. You have a Hispanic upbringing, we're going to bring you all together.
Steve, you can call Beaver a Beaver, and remember, he's the guy who put Mexicans on lawnmowers.
He did. In one of the most racist things, he put Mexicans coming to the ring on fucking lawnmowers. I forgot about that.
And they were talented wrestlers.
Yes. They were amazing, amazing luchadors.
Oh, that is true. It's factual.
We're saying WWE is racist. In case you're curious. And of all people to say that, it's me. So you know that if I'm saying it, that it's a legit fucking problem.
I'm going to say Vince McMahon has had a change of heart.
But since the time that he was on the promo with Booker T.
Okay, let's go to number one. That it says we hope that is true. Rey Mysterio and WWE close to finalizing a deal, according to Dave Meltzer. The last word is that the sides are not far from a deal, and McMahon and Mysterio will be meeting once again soon to try and finalize things. And of course, he says we hope this is true, that Rey Mysterio manages to sign a short-term contract. So, guys, we are excited about this, or no?
I'm definitely torn on it because I hope Rey would finish up his business with WWE because he's had such a good run there. But you guys all know how I feel about Rey and what's happened during this last run. It's just a little goofy, but yeah, I hope it's true. I hope they do sign the deal and they retire him and give him his flowers while he's still alive. Put him in the Hall of Fame. He deserves it.
Okay.
While he's still, I love that the guy isn't even 50 yet. Oh. And we're already pushing him into the grave and giving him his flowers.
Well, if you look at what's happened to him in the last year in kayfabe canon, he was thrown off of the top of a building and had his eyeball popped out via like an eject button.
Steve knows where I'm going with that.
Okay. So exactly. So then you should say that Rey needs to return so that he can have his other eye popped out as well.
You're damn right, man.
Because Vince hasn't finished where he started.
He hasn't finished with him yet.
Yeah. Of course not.
He's got to have the buried alive match.
Oh, God. Where he will lose to Dominic. Boom.
Yeah.
Richard, if you're listening, that's another one. It's free. Yeah. Totally take that.
Another one.
Straight up. Have Dominic turn heel on his dad, retire him in a buried alive match. Boom.
All right.
Yeah. By the way, Impact, I have to applaud you. This was an expertly curated article by an amazing journalist from Sports Skeeda. And what he happened to do was he happened to take two reports from two different journalists and write about a sentence about each one of the blurbs between Tom Colicchio and Dave Meltzer.
Pretty much, right.
Those were the real writers of this article, not Rohit Nath.
Well, I tell you what.
Rohit Nath. Really? That's a name? Holy shit.
It says featured writer.
Yeah.
And it gives you an option to even follow him. So this guy is a real person, believe it or not.
Oh, fuck. Then in that case, we apologize. We didn't realize you were a real person. I don't know if this is helping. It's probably hurting us really bad right about now. So how many more of these 10 counts do we have here?
That was the last one, right?
No, we do have one more.
Oh, one more.
All right. So the number one. Oh, give me a second. I had it and it just went right away that quick.
Of course, because it's on Sports Keto where you can't read shit.
So, maestro, the next button takes you to the next top 10. That's what it is. I'm not kidding, though.
Well, they did have. They like to do top 10s and top 15s and top 20s, but that's okay. Yeah. You know, sports keto.
Yeah, send us the check.
All right, so I'm only now 4 pages away, and I'm going to be ready. But I will say this. This next one, I know this quote actually came from one of the actual writers from Sports Geeta. So it's not from Tom or from Dave Meltzer, right? So that's pretty cool.
Well, there's one.
Yeah. You know? So, all right. I think I've got there. This is number one. And this is, we hope, isn't true. Backstage reason why Vince McMahon wants Drew McIntyre to lose the WWE title. That's got to be interesting because, you know, Matt Michaels also wants him to just be done with it. So there might be some there might be some correlation here. Now, this was according to Sportskeeda, Leonard Soraro. Okay. Now,
so they do make these names up.
according to you.
It says the reason why that may happen is because WWE reportedly wants Randy Orton to go over McIntyre, which would then lead to a match between the Legend Killer and the Rated R Superstar. WWE might just want to increase the stakes for the third and final match between Edge and Randy Orton.
He's literally fucking repeating the goddamn first point about Edge and Orton.
We hope him. We hope this isn't true because Edge versus Randy Orton is big enough where it is. It doesn't need the WWE Championship on the line. It's the same mistake WWE keeps making with part-timers over and over. All right. So, we hope it isn't true. Backstage reason why Vince McMahon wants Drew McIntyre to lose the WWE title. Have the last word on this, Matt Michaels, and then I'll end this misery for you.
Well, I hope it isn't true, so.
Good job, Matt Michaels.
There you go. I hope it isn't true. I don't know what to say to this thing. Yeah. This is awful.
Oh, man. All right.
You make me want to go to the dentist.
Fellas, that completes our three count. Great stuff tonight. I'm so I'm proud of you guys. You made it through it.
And, thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's your dad?
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. We'll look for some cool ones. Next week, I'll make sure to throw a Forbes.com in there for you, okay? So we're going to – because we only deal with the money magazines.
While you're at it, why don't you just throw in CNBC too? I mean
– you know, I see if they got something to say. You know,
I'm down.
Apparently, Dave Meltzer is the only journalist in wrestling. So I know we claim not to be. I mean, we're entertainment. We're not journalists. But maybe one of you guys can move up the ladder. You know, you'd be like our journalist correspondent. We could be like, we're going live now to Sin City Steve. Tell us what you just found out over there at the WWE Performance Center. And then you'll be like, you know.
Bro, I am down. You just send over the Vegas Bad Boys P card, and I am there. All right?
Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, good show tonight. This is our three count. We thank everybody for listening and watching us as well and interacting with us on our social media. So with that, that'll be it. Peace.
Good night, Bruce.
Bye. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.